And now, more civil societies, hearing ideas for real change.
It's the beginning of a new year. Do you think maybe over the holidays something might change, but nothing really has? This week, Parliament's going back. Q&A's back on the ABC. And they're still talking about exactly the same sort of crap that they were talking about last year. I mean, economics. When did economics become such a powerful way of trying to explain the world? So I thought I'd go back briefly in a bit of history and a bit of background. Because when I went back to university in the 1970s, a long time ago, to complete a degree that I'd started in the 1950s, I gave up on the idea of doing English literature and picked sociology. That was the big discipline at the time. We were interested in creating social change and looking at what society was about, in trying to work out why people behaved in the way that they did so that we could create a better world. There was a lot of optimism and a lot of a sense the good change was possible. And we got lots of good changes. But since then, things deteriorated fairly rapidly. By the 1980s, we'd sort of somehow or other caught up with this idea that economics was something that was really exciting. I did Economics 1 in 1956 and failed it because it was boring. And sociology was a discipline which was fashionable in the 70s, so I picked that instead. Economics is supposed to be a social science, but it seems to have left the social out of it. And the 1980s, it changed because there was a sort of major shift in international finance when big companies became globalized. So they thought, why are they supporting the nation state? So they just rediscovered this idea of economics in a particular version called neoliberalism. But it's not very good at predicting human behavior. And yet, there I was listening last night to what they were talking about. It was economics. They talk a little bit about whether it's left-wing or right-wing. They talk about whether it's the market or whether we actually have to interfere with the market to some degree. But really, if you take a look at both the government and the opposition, they're talking about wages, they're talking about paid work, they're talking about investment, they're talking about capital. They're not talking about social cohesion. They're not talking about what sort of society we want to live in. All they're talking about is whether or not we get higher wages or lower wages according to particular thing, cuts and tax and various other things. I thought I'll go back and let's have a look at what's wrong with economics. The term actually comes from the Greek word for households, but it doesn't deal with them. Only the materialist manifestations of human activity, that means emotions, relationships, ethics, equity, all of those things really don't count. And that happens both in the more left-wing Marxist versions and in the market versions of the right. The right bases its ideas on the idea that we've got this person called Homo economicus, the economically rational man, and I use the time advisedly, which are self-interested, rational individuals who make decisions for their own good. But human beings aren't like that. We are connected to each other, and we're also very often quite irrational. But it does cover corporations. If you look at the Corporations Act, that's how they're told to act in self-interest to make sure that they get enough money for their shareholders. So they create algorithms, which are just mathematical formulas, but you can't really predict human behavior by those sort of algorithms. So they don't really work very well, and you see that in the failure of the market model. We had the GFC, where the market collapsed entirely in 2007. And listening to the news, it sounds as though there's also some really weird things going in the stock market now. Maybe we're running into another crisis. Because those assumptions about the way we behave really don't hold very well. When people get pessimistic, they sell. When they get optimistic, they buy, or whatever it happens to be. It's nothing to do with what's happening in society and what's happening in the wider world. It's all about money, capital and profits and who gets them. It's all materialist. It doesn't gauge our feelings or even acknowledge we've got them. It doesn't say that we're communal people, just that we're individuals. So we are really having problems. It also builds up distrust, and that's something that neither of the major political parties are looking at. Are the figures that constantly come out showing people don't trust the democratic system and the people that represent us. So we tend to cluster in subgroups, identity politics, and various things like acute nationalism, antagonism is growing between groups. You have a look at people really having nasty fights with each other and not listening, and the whole thing seems to be engaged with my tribe versus your tribe. So there's lots of people protesting, but they're protesting in small groups and actually often being anti other small groups, even though they might share some background, because they don't trust them. They don't trust anybody but people like themselves. And that's really toxic. That's when you get the idea of, you know, of governments where people start voting for strong men, in most cases, to fix a problem because they have fear of disorder. So we can see that there's a lot of fragmenting within what might be called progressive movements, and there's also a lot of fragmenting between what might be called conservative and more right-wing movements, neoliberal movements, which isn't really conservative, but it's right-wing. But nobody's actually attending to that sort of stuff. So we just have to look at what we're doing. I don't think the problem is just a maldistribution of income. Income's important. I'm not denying the fact that having money is useful. But a survey came out from the Australia Institute, where they asked people, did they want to see tax cuts, which they promise will increase our income? So the reasons they're promising that are very vague and not really proven. And nearly all of the people in the survey said no, they would prefer the money went to public services, where we do things collectively, where we pay taxes in order that the government provides us with services, so we don't go out and have to buy them and negotiate the cheapest contracts for healthcare and power and various other things. I think most people are actually distrusting government because they don't feel that the government has the foggiest idea what's happening with them. So they want to see a more collectivist view of what government's doing. They want governments to get back to funding public services. I tweeted, let's go back to public utilities last night, and lots of people responded. We don't want to have to negotiate our electricity prices. We just want to make sure we can afford it. So we actually do need to start thinking seriously about what sort of society we live in. We live in a society, not an economy. And what's important is social cohesion and trust, not just trust of people like ourselves. We have to learn that most people are trustworthy, and to make most people trustworthy, we've got to be able to have governance, people who own power, who give us a sense that they're there to create fairness, that they're there to give us a sense that we belong somewhere. They're there to create good societies. They're not there just to create material wealth and pretend that that's well-being. So I suppose I'm putting up a plea for the next year that we get back to the idea of looking what a good society looks like, what a more civil society looks like. We don't have to get to be good immediately, because I think we've got lots of arguments about what good societies would look like. But I do think we need to be able to get to the point where we deliver a wider set of public trust in the institutions of power, so that we actually can then focus on how we make them work better, so that we create countries that are fair and civil, and societies and communities down to the local level, where we actually are prepared to trust strangers even if they don't look like us, and also trust the government. This is the idea of social capital that I talked about a long time ago. But I think if we don't do that, if we don't stop this bickering, we're going to be in trouble. And one of the things that we've got to do, and this is my main message out of this whole thing, is what do we want instead? Because if we don't do it, who's going to do it? Because basically, at the moment, we're not doing that. We're not talking about the positives. We're not talking about the society we want to live in. We're complaining about what we have. And that is just creating more distrust.
More Civil Societies, every week with Julie Macken and Eva Cox.